उमर चढ़ा रहा है, उमर चढ़ा रहा है। नबी बोले मेरा साथी मेरा दिल तारा था है, उमर चढ़ा रहा है, उमर चढ़ा रहा है, उमर चढ़ा रहा है, उमर चढ़ा रहा है।
कोई कासिद नबी पाक तक ऐसी खबर लाया, फिरा का कत्ल का लेकर इधर आया उधर आया, सहाबा में मची हलचल, उमर आया उमर आया, सहाबा में मची हलचल, उमर आया उमर आया। कहा मदनी ने ये मेरी दुआओं का समर आया।
Marcus Sahaba, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah.
Walaikum Salaam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana, to you and the listeners of Marcus Sahaba, the voice of the Ahl Sunnah wal Jamaah. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Maulana, we trust you and the family are well. Allah Ta'ala make it easy for the Muslim Ummah throughout the world. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim, Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Jazallahu anna Muhammadin sallallahu alayhi wa sallam bima huwa ahlu. Rabbi shrali sadri wa yasvi amri wa luluk tatammi lisani yafqahu qawli. Jimolana, it is through the grace and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that this morning we continue with our history regarding Bilad al-Muslimin, the land of the Muslims, and we are particularly concerned with the country known as Pakistan. Alhamdulillah, through the fazl and karam of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we dealt with how Islam was established during the time of Muhammad bin Qasim in Pakistan. But before we go there, Maulana, I want to talk about a very interesting development that has taken place in contemporary Pakistan. In fact, what has happened is Imran Khan and his wife Bushra Bibi were imprisoned and sometime in May for about 9 months. The wife, Imran is still in prison for over a year now. Now there is speculation that Imran may come out of jail because of the release of his wife. In fact, leaders of Khan's party are optimistic that the iconic boss could soon be set free too. But analysts are less confident. Hundreds of people, and this is from Al Jazeera we have taken, Mulana, hundreds of people gathered outside Bani Gala, the palatial mansion on the outskirts of Islamabad, on Thursday to welcome Bushra Bibi, the wife of former Pakistani Prime Minister Imran Khan, following a release from jail after 9 months. Bibi, arrested in January, was granted bail on Wednesdays in a case concerning the illegal sale of state gifts. She traveled from Adiyala jail in Rawalpindi in a convoy of cars with supporters throwing flowers on her vehicle. Bibi and Khan were initially sentenced in January to 14 years in prison after being found guilty of selling state gifts worth more than 140 million rupees received during Khan's tenure as Prime Minister between 2018 and 2022 from the Toshakhana, that is the state treasury. The couple was separately also convicted in a case questioning the legality of their marriage, but they were acquitted in July, shortly after authorities filed an additional Toshakhana case, this time involving a jewelry set gifted to Bibi by the Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman. The National Accountability Bureau, that is NAB, has alleged that Khan and Bibi illegally kept the set and later sold it for more than $350,000. Khan, a former cricketer and philanthropist, remains in jail and has denied all charges against him, accusing the government and the establishment of a targeted campaign to keep him imprisoned. The establishment in Pakistan is a euphemism for the country's powerful security forces, which have ruled directly for nearly 30 years and maintained political influence under even civilian governments. Bibi's release comes the same week Pakistan's parliament passed a controversial constitutional amendment, giving the legislature more power to appoint top judges, among other changes. Khan's political party, the Pakistan Tehreek-e-Insaf, has opposed the amendments and organized protests across the country. PTI Chairman Gohar Ali Khan dismissed rumors of a deal with the authorities to secure Bibi's release in exchange for supporting the amendment. If we had to have a deal with them, Bibi would not have stayed behind bars for 9 months, or Khan wouldn't be behind bars for 16 months. She was kept in jail only to put pressure on Khan, but Allah willing, now he will be released soon and it will be done on a legal merit, not through any deal, he told reporters outside the Adiyala prison in Rawalpindi. Khan, arrested in August last year, faces more than 150 cases, including charges of corruption, is laughable, inciting violence, sedition, and leaking state secrets since his removal in April 2022 through a no-confidence vote. Naeem Haider Panjuta, a member of Khan's legal team, echoed Gohar Ali's optimism about the potential of imminent relief for Imran Khan. They face the same charges, so there's no reason for Khan to remain behind bars in this case. He has no pending convictions, and while some cases related to May 9 remain, we are hopeful of securing bail and his release, Panjuta told Al Jazeera. Khan was briefly detained on May 9 last year, triggering nationwide protests from PTI supporters. The demonstrations escalated, state buildings and military installations were attacked, in fact, some by the military's own Kundas Mulana, resulting in thousands of arrests, although only about 100 faced military trials. PTI's Said Zulfi Bukhari, a close aide to Khan, also expressed optimism that the former prime minister would be released soon. He is illegally placed in prison, just as his wife was. This release has nothing to do with any deal, but it is due to the perseverance of our lawyers in the court of law, and we will do the same for Imran Khan, as well to take to the streets in protest for his release. However, political analyst Zeghlam Khan suggested that Bibi's release might have been politically calculated to stoke tensions within the PTI. While Khan, the undisputed leader of the PTI, is behind bars, other leaders representing subgroups or factions have been jostling for influence. There is a power center in Khyber Pakhtunkhwa province, led by the Chief Minister Ali Amin Gandapur. Then there is another faction which looks up to the party's Secretary General, Salman Akram Raja, Zeghlam Khan said. However, Bibi is very powerful in her own right and can't trust her completely. Many in the party will naturally gravitate towards her, the analyst told Al Jazeera, and noted that Imran Khan's two sisters, who have been jailed since October following protests against the constitutional amendment, also had a group that is close to Khan. Nor were analysts convinced that the government's granting Bibi Hale heralded Khan's imminent release. There was no merit in the cases against Bibi. She had already received a co-votal and a bail in other cases, and this was also on weak grounds, so there was no point to keep her in jail. Political commentator Munib Farooq said. However, Farooq said that the government's stance on Khan appears unchanged, leaving little hope for his release. The strategy seems to be to let Bibi go free while maintaining the hard light policy on Khan, unless there's a significant shift that allows for his release. Come to the end of the article, Maulana. Inshallah, we trust that Imran Khan will be released. In fact, there was a very interesting tweet from his former wife in Jemima Khan regarding the treatment that Imran Khan has been receiving in the prison. There was over 250 cases that were made against him, and these were all fake charges just to keep him in prison and to keep the PTI out of power. The Mulana, and recently I've heard a clip, a very interesting clip by Dr. Asrar Ahmad regarding the establishment of Pakistan in 1948. Allah will make it easy. In fact, Pakistan was an ideological state established in the name of Islam, and a pledge was made to Allah tell us that this country would be established. And the famous slogan that was used at the time of the establishment of Pakistan was that Pakistan ka matlab kya hai? And the refrain was always La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. And we can see that since its establishment in 1947, and till now, Maulana, that everything has been going contrary from the Sharia of Islam. In fact, the constitution was only completed from the time of establishment, was completed in 1973 during the time of Zulfikar Ali Bhutto. And that constitution also is now being amended. Coming back to our story, Maulana, regarding the history of Pakistan, we came up to the period where in the early 8th century, Muhammad bin Qasim was responsible for the establishment of Islam in the subcontinent of India, and a major portion of what is now present-day Pakistan came under Muslim suzerainty during the rule of Khalif al-Walid the first during the early 8th century. A very interesting point that we've got to take into consideration in the tafsir of Tafsir Usmani of the Holy Quran, Maulana, you will be able to help us and clarify it also, Mufti Usman says in his commentary that during the time of the splitting of the moon by Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, one of the Rajas of India saw this phenomenon taking place and accepted Islam at the time of the splitting of the moon. And this is part of the commentary of Tafsir Usmani. Allah knows best, Maulana, whether this happened. So then we can say that Islam came to India and Pakistan during the time of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam and not in the 8th century that we are talking about. The Muslim government of Sindh, Junaid bin Abdul Rahman, had to contend with the revolt of the son of Raja Dahar. His name was Jaishya Singh. This revolt was mercilessly suppressed, and Junaid also established the towns of Mansara and Malfuza for Islamic habitation. Jain Dahar Singh had initially accepted Islam to avoid any clashes with the Muslim army, but on requesting indemnity from attack, felt insecure. He apostatized and felt the brunt of the governor's ire. The reign of Suleiman in Damascus was for a period of 2 years, from 1715 to 1717. During his reign, in the expansion of Islam as instituted by Walid I came to a halt. His only attempt to capture Constantinople also ended in failure. Historians have not been easy on him, and the cause of his death is attributed to his vociferous and gluttonous appetite. Suleiman reversed the policies followed by his brother Al-Walid. Muhammad bin Qasim Taqafi, at the age of 17, he was already appointed the governor of Fars by his cousin and father-in-law Hajjaj bin Yusuf. His army undertook the march to Sindh from Shiraz. The rulers of Makran reinforced his army with more soldiers. The Raja had fortified the seaport of Taibul, a red flag fluttering above a temple gave hope to the idolaters within the fort that they would not be overpowered as long as the flag remained hoisted. The Muslim siege of the fort met with initial resistance, but Muhammad bin Qasim, the astute leader, after reversal and after several days, commanded his archers to target the flag. The fall of the flag heralded consternation among the Sindhis, that is the Devilites. When the fort and the city fell to the Muslims, Raja Dahir escaped to Rawar in the Sangar district. As the new conquerors marched inland and annexed district after district, with the result that Raja Dahir was killed in a battle in Rawar, where many were killed on both sides. Muhammad bin Qasim garrisoned every town and district as he captured them, and with the capture of Talia, the whole of southern Sindh came under Muslim rule. As the conquest progressed, many of the reigning rajas either surrendered after a siege or agreed to pay the jizya to the new conquerors. The next major victory for the Muslim army was the city of gold, that is Multan. It was heavily fortified and had a place of pilgrimage for the Sikhs. The temple at Multan was rich, and the offerings of the pilgrims, gold, the booty captured from this temple alone was phenomenal and covered the cost of the expedition several times over. The zeal of the Muslims under Muhammad bin Qasim rahmatullah alayhi was such that notwithstanding the large booties that they collected along their advance in the scene, their display of Islam greatly influenced the local residents. Gradual reversions and systems were instituted for the education of the new Muslims. By the year 713, the Muslim army had reached at the borders of the southern Kashmir, which included the plains of Punjab. Within a period of 5 years, all this was achieved. Muhammad bin Qasim was charged with the expedition in 711, and by 715, at the age of 22 years, become the master of Sindh. He was a contemporary of Tariq and Musa bin Nusayr, rahmatullah alayhi, the conquerors of Spain, and tragically met the same fate as Muhammad bin Qasim. The next 140 years of expansion, of any expansion of the Muslim territories, came to an abrupt halt. Though many Arab governors under the Umayyad dynasty were appointed as governors, they had contend with the internal conflicts. They had to contend with the internal conflicts within and among Muslims, and also uprisings from the local inhabitants. These governors were Habib bin Muhallab, Amr bin Muslim al-Bahili, Junaid bin Abdul Rahman, who fought against Jai Singh and defeated him, Tamim bin Junaid, Al-Udbi, Hakam bin Awana, Al-Kalbi, and Amr bin Muhammad bin Qasim, the son of Muhammad bin Qasim, and many others, whose reign as governors did not extend for any period of note. In 856, the Habbarid dynasty was established with the appointment of Umar bin Abdulaziz, a claimant of Quraysh genealogy, in being a descendant of a Habbar bin al-Aswad, who bears the signing, the ignominy of still of striking Hazrat Zainab radiallahu ta'ala anha, the daughter of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when she tried to migrate, when she was leaving Mecca to join her illustrious father sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in Medina. It was as a result of this strike with lance that she experienced a miscarriage and lost a child. Habbar bin Aswad was to accept Islam at the conquest of Mecca. This dynasty ruled the Sindh region for a period of 170 years from 856 to 1026, and some great early Muslim travelers and historians such as Al-Maqdisi, Al-Istikhari, and Masudi visited the region. Umar bin Abdul Aziz rahmatullah alayhi was succeeded by his son Abdullah, who had to contend with an uprising that was led by son bin Abu Sam. It was during the rule of Abdullah that the Holy Quran was first rendered in the local language in Sindh. In 1024, the last of the Habaris rulers, Al-Khafif, had to contend and give away to another heroic dynasty in the history of Islam, the Ghaznavid dynasty. The rise of this dynasty is a quirk of history. The founder, Al-Tajan, was the commander-in-chief of the Samanid forces of Abdul Malik. On the death of Abdul Malik and the ascension, a tussle arose between the son of Abdul Malik and a brother of the deceased Sultan, Mansur bin Nu, that is, between nephew and uncle. Al-Tajan favored the son, but Mansur seized the throne. Al-Tajan withdrew his support for the Samanids and established his own kingdom in 1961 in a southward march to Ghazni. He defeated the ruler of Amak of Ghazni and ruled for 6 years to 967. In the battle for ascension to the throne, Al-Tajan succeeded in creating another empire for himself and established another Muslim dynasty of rulers. He was under the Samanids and also appointed as governor of Khorasan. He began his kingdom in the Ghazna in Afghanistan. The dynasty also experienced initial instability, and it was only during the accession of Sabuktajin to this leadership. He was the son-in-law of Al-Tajan that the empire really flourished with the conquest of Jalalabad and a part of Khorasan. The bravery and the boldness of Sabuktajin alarmed the Hindu Raja Jaipal, who immediately undertook to confront the threat to his kingdom. He was defeated and captured by Sabuktajin. On agreeing to pay a ransom, he was released, but the Raja sought his release only to deceive. Sabuktajin once again defeated and conquered territories extending to Peshawar. Raja Jaipal could not see his empire crumbling and burnt himself to death. Sabuktajin had ruled the empire for 17 years from 980 to 997. He had two sons, Ismail and Mahmud. Ismail was the younger and proclaimed himself Amir on the death of his father. The responsibilities of leadership overwhelmed him, and he was overthrown by his elder brother Mahmud in an in-house coup in 999. The accession of Amir Mahmud rahmatullah alayhi heralded the consolidation and the real expansion of Muslim rule in India. In his first year, he embarked upon the systematic conquest of regions along the Indus River and destroyed the Samanid rule that once his grandfather Al-Tajan secured as a commander-in-chief of its forces. The Hindu Rajas from Gwalior, Hijin, Khanaj and Delhi and Ajmer formed a coalition with Anandpal, the son of Raja Jaipal, to extricate the Muslim from the soil of India. The forces of Shirk and Iman met on the plains of Hazro, and through the Hindu forces, though the Hindu forces outnumbered the Muslim, the leadership of Amir Mahmud rahmatullah alayhi carried the day for the Muslims. He ruled for a period of 31 years from 999 to 1030. In that period, from his position in the high plateau of northern India, he ventured more than the expedition into India. He conquered the Punjab, Sindh, and Multan in India, and eastwards towards Persia, he conquered Khorasan. These campaigns yielded enormous booty for the Muslims from the temples of the Hindus. He was among the first Muslims to be honored by the title of Al-Ghazi, one who fought the unbelievers with the bravery and distinction. He acknowledged the caliphate of Ali Qadir in 991 to 1031 under the Abbasid flag. He constructed beautiful masjids and hammams across his vast kingdom and established places for learning and teaching the Quran, the Ahadith, and Fiqh. Many great men visited his court, such as the scientist and historian Al-Biruni, the Persian poet Firdowsi, and Al-Utbi, a Christian historian. At the time of his death, in fact, Al-Utbi then accepted Islam. At the time of his death in 1030, he had raised one of the largest empires of the 11th century. After passing of Ghazi Mahmud, the empire experienced a gradual decline, with the Seljuks capturing the Iranian regions of the empire and leaving the Ghaznavids in only India and Afghanistan. The petty squabbles among the princes contributed to the deterioration of the empire. It was another 30 years before some stability and prosperity and peace was to follow in this empire. What followed was a sort of a minor miracle, for during the reign of Ibrahim, who has the honor of being the longest serving Ghaznavid ruler, 40 years from 1060 to 1100, and also the peak of the empire, that one of the great saints of Islam, Sheikh Ali Hazwiri, Data Ganj Baksh Rahmatullah Ali, sojourned at the Indo-Pak subcontinent during this period, and the awliya of Allah surely have some effect on the environment that they traverse. In nearby Ghor, the restless craving for land and territory was simmering. The death of Ibrahim at the beginning of the 12th century left the kingdom in disarray. The infighting continued, and the Ghurids under Alauddin sought revenge in 1140 for the beheading of their leader and Alauddin's brother Saifuddin. What followed was a massacre of immense proportions. Muslim killing Muslim. Ghazni was flowing with blood. It is no wonder that Alauddin was given the name of Jahan Source, that is, world burner. His vengeance wreaked death for 70,000 people in Ghazni, and the fire in the capital raged for 7 days, and the destruction was devastating in its execution. It was in 1186, some 46 years later, that those who destroyed and ravaged Ghazni were to conquer it and become its rulers under the Shahabuddin Ghuri. The Ghaznavid dynasty ruled India, the northwestern parts, and that is mainly the Pakistan as it is constituted presently. The last ruler of this dynasty was Khurro Malik, the son of Khusro Shah. He had the misfortune to contend with the Ghurids, who were rampant in their campaigns. The dynasty held the flag of Islam for 225 years, from 961 to 1186, and consolidating Islam in the region of India. It ruled over were the seeds of the formation of Pakistan sown in the heady days of the Ghaznavid dynasty 62 years before Pakistan came into being. Well, now we have come to the end of our program. Inshallah, next week we'll do the Ghurids rule from 1140 to 1206. And we pray that Allah Ta'ala give relief to the people of Gaza and Lebanon and Muslim army. Let us make a lot of dua. Allah Ta'ala make it easy and destroy the enemies of Islam. Allah, to you and the listeners of Makkah Sahaba, the voice of the Ahli wal Jama'ah, Ahli Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum assalam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh and jazakumullah.